Before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I wanted to tell you about our brand new sponsor, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. If you know me at all, you know my body is a mess. I've been in car accidents. I got bulge discs in my neck and my back. I got sciatica pain. Well, no more, thanks to St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. The difference with them is neurosomatic therapy, or NST. NST incorporates innovative ways to analyze and thoroughly explore your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and organs in order to find the hidden sources of the pain. And they're not going to go and just give you medication, move you around a little bit. This is intensive therapy that finds the root of your pain. The reason neurosomatic therapy works is because it looks at the body as a whole instead of focusing on individual systems. It worked for me, and it can work for you. Give them a call at 727-347-4325 and visit them online at stjohn-clarkptc.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive from Park Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioStPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at home_made_man. Follow me while you still can, because I am about ready to get the hell off of social media. I think I would not have it. I love Twitter. I love messing with people on Twitter. I love saying my opinions on Twitter. And I feel like it's important, especially, you know, being in some sort of media to say how I feel. I feel like that's what I'm paid for. I am a professional broadcaster, believe it or not. And I feel like I should be able to say things, that I have that sort of justification, but I'm employed by a media company, and that's what they pay me for, is kind of my commentary on current events. There is a lot of things, though, that you just cannot touch. Totally banal, boring things that you just cannot say right now. And it's concerning. I have a workmate right now that might be terminated, that potentially might not be around anymore because of a joke. A poorly constructed joke. You have to pick your words so carefully. And it's scary, and I don't know what's going to happen. The lines of discourse that are acceptable now are very limited, and we had a huge event happen. We had a global pandemic and a viral video that showed the murder of a black man in police custody. And we had idle hands and people that were cooped up for many months inside the house. And once that happened, people said, yeah, no more, we're not doing this, and went out into the streets. And many people protested this, demanded reforms. And there is a lot of truth to what they're saying. I think police does need to be policing, and America does need to be looked at. I think they're far too militarized. I think that there's a lot of things that can be done. They need to be more a part of the community. You shouldn't be afraid when you see a cop. And I know a lot of my friends are, and even as a white guy, I get nervous when a cop is behind me. I've had run-ins with police that didn't go well for me. I had one very bad experience where I was arrested. Now, should I have been arrested? Yeah, maybe. But I didn't need to be spear tackled and kept in jail for 13 hours. But that's one experience out of my 35 years, and I know a lot of people have it much, much worse. I've heard stories from my friends, and I believe them. So I think that there are a lot of things that can be done and things we definitely need to look at. But there is a shutting down of unaccepted discourse right now, and I think that's really unfair. And you have to be, like I said, be so careful about what you say. I'm nervous even making this podcast because we are going to talk a lot about the protests, the riots, and what the outcomes of those things will and should be. We're going on almost a week now of protests. I followed many of these Tampa Bay Times writers that were following the protests, which are little kids. That newsroom is dominated by children. I went into my thing, if you've been listening, and many of you have, because I got numbers this week from Radio St. Pete and from my own feed. Numbers are going up. So I know people are listening, which makes me feel better, because sometimes I feel like I'm talking to myself, because I don't really get a lot of interaction on this program. But there's only, I know they did some research into this, and only about 1 or 2% of listeners will actually interact with the programs. I want you to interact. I want to hear your opinion on this stuff. I put out a call on Twitter to, leave me voicemails. I want to hear about your opinions on the protests, how it's covered. And you can still do that, by the way, 813-693-2124. Visit hmbradio.com. But I know people are listening out there, which makes me feel a little better. Also makes me feel very nervous. I'm not gonna lie, because I am not within the accepted rules of discourse right now, which is, if you're not on the rioters' side, then you're in trouble. That's what it seems like anyway. And I totally disagree with that. There's been this false choice that's been put in front of us where we're excusing, a lot of people anyways, are excusing, people setting businesses on fire over this that have nothing to do with police. And they burned down, the police station in Minneapolis. And I was kind of like, okay, I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm not okay with it, but I understand it at least. But going around and burning convenience stores, immigrants probably to this country who, started a convenience store, black owned businesses, they don't care. It's just chaos. And there is an institution or infiltration, I guess, of just troublemakers. And I've even seen it on these little local protests that we have here. Not little, they're huge, hundreds of people out in the streets every night. And, they're upset when some knucklehead starts throwing mortar shells at the cops. And then cops have to do their jobs. And at that point, it's not a peaceful assembly, and they break up the protests. And then, you're getting these little kid journalists out there. I saw one, Catherine Varn, she put out this week that, and it was a peaceful one this night, but she put out and said, this girl says that she was shot with a rubber bullet and has a picture of her leg, which looks to be a scratch. It looks like a skateboard, and she got some road rash from a skateboard. That's what it looked like to me. If you get hit with a rubber bullet, it bruises terribly. I remember seeing that Jackass where they shot those guys with those things, and they just had these huge welts with just the bruises. It was so uncomfortable to look at. But these little kids, they don't know that. This is they haven't had any sort of, experience with this stuff. So she just goes ahead and tweets that out. I saw Kevin King say, we didn't use rubber bullets. And as far as I know, the St. Pete PD has not used mace, tear gas, so they claim. I know there's some people who say otherwise, but I haven't seen any evidence on it either, and I've been paying very close attention to their, I follow all those children now, and I watch their videos, and the most I saw was smoke get released. But I understand why a lot of those kids would think that that's tear gas. you know, because they don't know. They don't have any experience with that stuff. I also saw the Tampa Bay Times released an op-ed from one of their, or an editorial, I don't know what you call it, but some sort of piece from one of their writers there, that you got to let them do their jobs. And two of their reporters were detained, Jay Cridlin and, sorry, I forgot the other person's name, but they were covering a protest, and in Jay Cridlin's defense, he says, hey, I was detained. He put it on his Twitter feed. Once they saw who I was, they cut me loose. No big deal. And that was that. But then they wrote this huge editorial about, I forget who wrote it too. Sorry. I should have done my research. Kind of going off the cuff today because I know there's a lot to cover. So I didn't even really prepare any prep. So we're just talking, we're just chit-chatting this week. But they wrote this thing how the police need to let journalists do their jobs. They were clearly marked with their press badges, and instead they were detained. Well, I mean, they were cut loose right away. Once they figured out who they were, showed their credentials, verified, then they went, okay, here you go, let me cut you loose. They're embedded in the crowd. They're embedded with people who are throwing mortars at cops. I don't want to be on the cop side here, but, like, what do you want to do? If the protesters aren't policing their own protest, meaning kicking those people out who are throwing those things and ruining a perfectly peaceful protest, then the police are going to have to police them. Like, you can't have it both ways, and everybody wants it both ways. So they were saying, oh, one of the reporters got knocked down. She's a girl. She's tiny. She weighs 80 pounds, and she's in a crowd and fell down and scraped her knee. You know, these are things that might happen if you're in a mob and in a protest, in quotes. But at a certain point, and I know it's the vast majority, they kept peaceful. These are mostly peaceful. And if you look at their tweets, they make sure to put mostly peaceful protests in there. They're really trying to nail it into your head that that the police are the ones who instigating this violence. And I'm not a big fan of the cops, but no, they're not. They are under such a microscope right now. They know better at this point. And there are some videos, you know, from all over the country where there was a video I saw from Buffalo where these cops freaking pushed this old man and cracked his head open. And thank God a guy survived. But so, I mean, like they're under, and those cops were suspended, and I bet you they'll face charges of assault. I would not be surprised to see that happen. But these kids are just out in this protest, and you know, like you can't, if you're in a mob, yeah, you might get detained for a minute until they verify who you are, and then you got cut loose, and that's exactly what happened. So what's the problem? I don't understand what do you want to have happen? Oh, they had their press badge. They're in plain clothes. They don't have, like, a uniform on. I know they don't really have a uniform, but you're embedded in a... They have to figure out what's going on, who's throwing the goddamn fireworks, arrest them, and then, you know, they'll cut you loose. And that's exactly what happened. Instead, they bitch. And they love making a story about themselves. You Google search journalist riot, you know, any injury. Holy hell. Every outlet has... Or journalists are under attack. Let's not forget about the real victim here, folks. It's unbelievable. The New York Times released an op-ed by Tom Cotton this week, a senator from Arkansas. And he said, let's call in the military to stop these riots. That turned into New York Times children that also run that newsroom. By the way, we were kind of under the impression that once these kids left school, that this campus activism would stop, and even people in authority positions up in these organizations, like the New York Times, said the same thing, and now they run your newsroom. That didn't happen. So they had a conniption. And I saw Ben Kirby here, the communications director from the city of St. Pete, was saying how egregious this article was, but also that the New York Times should run it. You should know your enemy. And this is the thing. Jonathan Haidt, researcher and psychologist, did a study where people on the left do not read look at any sort of conservative news sites. Conservatives do. So they know the whole story. People on the left do not know. And I've seen this firsthand with my friends where they're talking about, I remember it was Sean Spicer was the press secretary. And, you know, we were talking about having some beers one night and how he just lies and stuff. Oh, he's such a liar. That administration lies. And I go, well, I said, well, you know, you guys can just watch they're on YouTube, the press briefing. You just watch them. Like, why don't you just do that instead of, oh, no, would never do that. Well, why? Why? This is information that you can have from the horse's mouth that doesn't get filtered through a third party of somebody with not only a bias, but an agenda a lot of times. And they don't know what they're talking about. And these kids in the newsroom pitched a conniption because they wanted to silence a sitting senator. No platform, a senator. And they want to no platform people because they don't want them to have any sort of rebuttal to attacks that people are going to say about them. Can you imagine the gall and the power that these kids think they have to try to tell a senator to shut up? You're not welcome here. You can't talk to the public. And they don't really need these organizations. Like, they can just get it out on Twitter. But Twitter is starting to crack down, too. They've kicked a lot of people off Twitter. It's not a good thing. We're not going in a good direction. But I think that people are figuring this out more and more. And that's my thing. That's why I just became obsessed with this. Just the malfeasance of especially corporate press. A couple weeks ago, I was talking about Ray Roa's Creative Loafing outlet paper, and they're begging for money, but desperately trying to stay in business. And one of his points was that the alt-weeklies are the voice of the voiceless. They're able to tell the story that corporate press won't tell, that the Tampa Bay Times won't tell. So I did something. It took me forever to do this. I went. Florida has public voting records. You can see how people vote. Now, just because you're registered a certain way doesn't mean that you are a bad, you know, journalist or whatever. But I just think it's telling, you know, they're hammering in your head that we need diversity. And they don't have any diversity in their newsroom. So I went and looked up almost everybody that works at the Tampa Bay Times. I didn't do the sports section. I didn't do the web design team, stuff like that. But I found there were 67 people I found, which is probably only about 2/3 of the staff there at the Times. They have a huge staff. And I looked up what they're registered as, political party is. Like I said, this doesn't necessarily mean that they're not, you know, a good journalist or whatever, but it's just some indication where you talk about being the voice for the voiceless. No, you're totally mainstream, dude. And, you know, like I saw Creative Loafing put out the Allendale Church gets a story in Bay News 9 and Tampa Bay Times and Creative Loafing every time they make a really edgy sign on their banner thing out front. So they're not the voice for the voice. It's totally a mainstream outlet. So I looked up 67 Tampa Bay Times writers and how they're registered. And I had to be sure, in order to be fair, if I thought it was probably that person, I still didn't count it because I had to be absolutely sure that it is them. I wanted to be as fair as possible with this. So I found 16 of them, which is about 23%, have no party affiliation. It's good. That's probably what you should be if you're in that field. You shouldn't be alleged to a party. Not applicable, meaning they're probably registered in another state or maybe foreign-born. I found 19%, 13 total there. I found 4 6% of their staff registered Republican. And I found 50%, 34 of them, are Democrats. So this idea that it's the voice for the voiceless and they're telling some stories that aren't heard, it's bunk. It's nonsense. They live in a bubble and they don't see this stuff. If you wanted to say, to talk to the voice of the voiceless, talk about the people they just say, according to the SPLC, these are hate groups. Because the only representation they get in the media is, according to the SPLC, this is a hate group. That those are the voiceless people in society. I saw it this week on WFLA even, and I'm going to do this with all the organizations down here. Look up what their allegiance is to. Who are they pledged to? Because I have a feeling it steers the reporting into not only a bias, but an agenda. And it's not fair because most people are not looking into this stuff and they just, whatever they see in the news, they go, oh, well, this is the news. Why would they lie? Most people are asleep to that kind of stuff. So they are controlling the discourse in this country. They are deciding what is acceptable and what isn't. So much so that they could tell a sitting senator he needs to shut up and they're not going to run their platform or run his opinion. The New York Times has ran Vladimir Putin's opinion. They've ran Adolf Hitler's opinion. Seriously? And that's good. Like, you need to know your enemy. If you really disagree with this person, find out what they believe and why you disagree with it. These are good things. I want to hear from those people. Most recently, they ran the Taliban. Again, I want it good. Let's get the words of our proposed enemy here. Find out what they're about, what makes them tick. They also ran the president of Turkey's, who jails the most journalists of any other country. And these people are scared that Tom Cotton's piece is going to put black lives in danger because he wants to send in the military to stop the rioters. Even though it got pushed protesters, which is not what he said in the piece. They make it up as they go along. No, it really means this. And they hear what they want to hear, read what they want to read, and interpret it how they want to interpret it, and then spit it out to us on Twitter. And it's totally hyperbolic. But the normal person looks at that, reads it, and goes, oh, my God. This guy is insane. I saw him do it today. Trump made a really clunky statement on George Floyd. He started out good. But he just gets caught up. He's not a good talker. And he said, that people need to be treated fairly by the police, no matter their color, creed, or any of that stuff. Yep, that's all good stuff to say. And then he went into, I think George Floyd is looking down on us smiling today. You could have just stopped in the first few sentences. Why are you doing this? And then some Bloomberg reporter picked it up and said that Trump says George Floyd would be happy about the job numbers. He never said that in the statement. But if you didn't look at the statement and you're going by some reporter at Bloomberg, you would go, holy crap, this guy is a monster. That's another thing. This job numbers came out they thought it was going to be terrible. The job numbers thought it was going to go up to as high as 20-30% unemployment because of the pandemic. Well, what happened? Unemployment's at 13% now. 2.5 million jobs were added this month. America's on a recovery from the pandemic. That's good. Washington Post went ahead and released a story, a scheduled tweet, because they assumed that the numbers were going to be bad, and then they had to yank that down real quick. They said they already have these things written. They start with their conclusion, work backwards. Which is a terrible way to do anything. Science, reporting, anything. Journalists are supposed to be truth tellers. Instead, they're campus activists with bylines. They're not doing anybody a favor. So I hope that you can look at this stuff and take it with a grain of salt. And if it's something, and like I understand there's so much information out there, you cannot, it's almost impossible to to figure out what the hell is exactly going on. So some of these things you just have to go, and just don't have an emotional reaction to it. And if it's something where you go, what in the hell? And you really go, what in the hell is going on here? Go look it up yourself. Go do more research, because I guarantee you it is not as it seems. It is not how it seems. And this is not good. Not good at all for our country. They are doing us no service, and they cry out in pain while they strike you. God forbid you say anything back to them, then you're the problem. You're attacking a free press. Well, it ain't free anymore. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. I'd love to hear your opinion on this. HMB Radio is the website. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man, where I am trying to be as careful as possible. I'm in this weird tightrope walk where I want to be taken seriously, and at the same time, I also like to make jokes. That's really hard to if you do anything, because holy cow, you let one bad joke go, and I've had many bad jokes, believe me. But if someone takes it a certain way, you're done. I'm very aware of that. I'm trying to be very careful. The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by NTT Fitness and NTT Nutrition. Check out nttfitness.com. There, if you use code LEVELUP15 at checkout, you will get 15% off your first order. NTT Nutrition is, seriously, I still get it, and they don't even really, they give me a 50% sponsorship now at this point, but I still order every week, and I get my dinners for them, and they keep getting better and better. The food tastes amazing. It's good for you, and the portion is correct. And, you know, I'm still a mess, but I feel like I'm looking better, and I wouldn't be able to do it in its entirety without NTT Fitness. So check out nttfitness.com. Use code LEVELUP15. That's my code. You'll get 15% off your first order, nttfitness.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is also brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V is in victory. Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg, Florida, is reopened. Phase 2, go get your haircut. It's totally cool now. Plus, Corona's over. The protests happen. Social distancing, all that work that we did with that, no more. It is gone, baby. So go get your hair cut. Wear a face mask if you want to. Totally not necessary, in my opinion. Just go. Get your hair cut. TruvySalonAndSpa.com. That's right. Phase 2 of reopening the state is here. It took effect Friday, June 5th, with the exception of Palm, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. Those three counties can submit to the governor reopening plans for further review. Palm Beach County is sending a plan to the governor, though they emphasize any further reopening will be taken in small steps. So what does phase two mean exactly? Well, bars. Yeah. Yes, bars will be limited to 50% capacity indoors with everyone seated, although outside seating will also be limited. Movie theaters, no chance I'm going to a movie. Bowling alley and concert venues may open at a 50% capacity on the inside. Gyms and retail businesses may operate at full capacity. Restaurants may allow bar top seating as long as customers follow social distancing. Personal service businesses like tattoo studios, places that practice acupuncture, tanning salons, stuff like that. These businesses must follow guidelines issued by the state health department. And I guess that's it. So that's kind of good news. I can't wait to go sit at a goddamn bar. I went to my neighborhood bar a few weeks ago. They're like a pub type thing, and you could go in, but you couldn't sit at the bar. So it just wasn't the same. I was like sitting ostracized in the little corner at one of those little tiny bar table things. and I was just by myself drinking a beer, and it was weird. So it'll be so nice to sit at a bar. There's no sports on yet, but I saw that the NBA is coming back. They started with their phase two opening, which I guess 22 teams will play in Orlando. So I guess they're going to play. There's going to be sports on TV. I'm not a big basketball fan, but whatever. It's something. And I also saw that NHL approved their phase where I think they can have six players come into their workout facilities in order to practice and do all that stuff. So that's good. That's a start. We're getting back to normal. There is going to be a spike, though. I know that for sure, and we're already seeing it. Florida's already seen the spike as the new reopening phase has started. On last Thursday, there was 1,419 new instances reported, including, according to the Florida Department of Health, the highest daily increase since early March. Florida has more than 60,000 coronavirus cases and has seen three-day trend in increases as it pushes to initiate phase two of reopening its economy. 41 deaths were also confirmed on Thursday, bringing the state's coronavirus death total to more than 2,600. DeSantis is still moving forward with phase two of opening, set to begin this past Friday. Bars and restaurants are allowed to operate greater capacity. Retail stores open, blah, blah, blah. We already went over that. Several sites in Florida are now offering free antibody testing to anyone over the age of 18, with some sites able to test up to 125 people a day. Florida received $252 million from the FEMA fund Wednesday to assist with coronavirus-related expenses. Florida declared a state of emergency due to the coronavirus on March 9th. President Trump then declared the coronavirus pandemic a national emergency on the 13th. The Florida's governor's office, along with the Department of Health, could not immediately be reached for comment. So, yes, we are going to see a big spike. And it's weird how even, well, I was going to say the protests are political. Of course they're political, but these same people, you know, that are saying that we need to get out there and fight racial injustice were telling you a week ago that if you were going to go to the beach, you were going to kill your grandmother. This was a very common, and they still say it even now, but the protests are still more important. Rules for thee, not for me type of thing. They were just chastising people because in their minds that they just wanted a haircut and they wanted to, they just wanted a haircut. It wasn't because their businesses were boarded up and shut down and they couldn't feed their family. No. That was just because of they wanted a haircut. That's what it's, and it's such a juvenile misunderstanding. Whether it's intentional or not, I don't know, of what's actually happened. Like, they're not even fair to perspectives that differ from their own. There was a lot of people saying, oh, you guys are okay with white men storming the Michigan building and screaming at cops. They didn't get arrested. Well, some did get arrested. And, you know, that they brought guns and all this stuff. Well, they had guns. The cops didn't really mess with them. that's another thing you didn't really think about. Also, those guys are knuckleheads. I mean, they brought these guns. I know it's their constitutional right, but they were knuckleheads. And, you know, they did the protest, and they were criticized very much for it by a lot of media, a lot of my friends. But their protests are good, and their protests are just, and their protests are cheered on by medical professionals who, like I said, were shaming you. I mean, you could go set a nursing home on fire if you wanted to, but God forbid you actually go into one and see your grandmother. You were gonna kill her. Meanwhile, you could just set the building on fire. That would be justice in a lot of people's minds. For months, public health experts have urged Americans to take every precaution to stop the spread of COVID-19. Stay at home. Steer clear of friends, extended family, and absolutely avoid large gatherings. Now, some of those experts are broadcasting a new message. It is time to get out of the house and join the mass protests against racism. We should always evaluate the risks and benefits of efforts to control the virus, Jennifer Nunzo, a Johns Hopkins epidemiologist, tweeted on Tuesday. In this moment, the public health risks of not protesting due to demand systematic racism greatly exceed the harms of the virus. It is a message echoed by media outlets all over the country and some of the most prominent public health experts in America, like former CDC and prevention director Tom Frieden, who loudly warned against efforts to rush reopening but are now supportive of the mass protests. Their claim, if we address racial inequality, it'll be that much harder to fight COVID-19. Also, evidence that the virus doesn't spread as easily outdoors, especially if people wear masks. The experts maintain that their messages are consistent and that they were always flexible on Americans going outside. Not that I saw. I was getting looked at with a side eye every time I went to the park and was running, and I wasn't wearing a mask. Can't wear a mask when you run. They said that they want protesters to take precautions and that they're prioritizing public health by demanding an urgent fix to systematic racism. And my friends, according to my friends on Facebook, the spike is not due to the protests. It is actually due to people going to the beach on Memorial Day. That's what it is, because it's the timetable doesn't, it's 7 to 10 days in order for symptoms to show up. So that's actually where the, now you can be asymptomatic and still have the virus and be tested. But no. It's because idiots went to the beach. This is just a political, I mean, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, you might go, yeah, it is. Let's see. Their new messages on But their messages are also confounding to many who spent the spring strictly isolated on the advice of health professionals, only to hear that the need might not be so absolute after all. It's particularly nettlesome to conservative skeptics that all or nothing approach to the lockdown, who point out that there are some public health experts, a group that tends to skew liberal, widely criticize activists who held large outdoor protests against lockdowns in April and May, accusing demonstrators of posing a public health danger. Conservatives who felt their own concerns about long-term economic damage or even mental health costs of a lockdown were brushed aside just days or weeks ago are increasingly asking whether these public health experts are letting their politics sway their healthcare recommendations. Conservatives also seized on a Twitter thread by Drew Holden, a commentary writer for former GOP Hill staffer, comparing how politicians and pundits criticize earlier protests, but have been silent on the new ones or even champion them. Some members of the medical community acknowledge they're grappling with a U-turn in public health advice, too. It makes it clear that all along there were trade-offs between details of lockdowns and social distancing and other factors that experts previously discounted and have now decided to reconsider for rebalance. That's what I said weeks ago. This is a simple cost-benefit analysis. There's no right answer. There's going to be consequences no matter what you choose. But people just went, nope. A lot of people did. I mean, a lot of people said, you're right, Will. I go, I know. You should listen to me more. Flyer pointed out that many of the protesters were also engaging in behaviors like loud singing in a close proximity, which CDC has repeatedly suggested could be linked to spreading the virus. The shift in experts' tone is setting up a confrontation amid the backdrop of a still raging pandemic. Tens of thousands of new coronavirus cases continue to be diagnosed every day, and public health experts acknowledge that more will likely come from mass gatherings sparked over the protests of George Floyd's death while in custody of the Minneapolis Police Department. Yet, it would appear that some of the protests are worth the risk of the possible COVID-19 surge, including hundreds of healthcare workers who signed an open letter this week that sought to distinguish the new anti-racist protests from the response to the white protesters resisting the stay-at-home orders. Those protests against stay-at-home orders not only oppose public health interventions, but are also rooted in white nationalism and run contrary to respect of black lives, according to the letters, nearly 1,300 signatories. Jesus. Protests against systematic racism, which fosters a disproportionate burden of COVID-19 on black communities and also perpetuates police violence, must be supported. Staying at home, social distancing, and public masking are effective at minimizing the spread of COVID-19, the letter signers add. However, As public health advocates, we do not condemn these gatherings as risky for COVID-19 transmission. This is just cognitive dissonance. This is letting your reasoning and rationale being thrown out the window for political gains. This is the cathedral that universities and I thought it was press that was really the problem, but it's really the universities that are educating these people and putting them out into the world that they just don't know how to think. They go into school and they become dumber. They're dumber when they come out of school. Not dumber, they're smarter, but they are completely indoctrinated. They spew the progressive mantra. And, you know, when you talk about progressivism, you go, well, what's wrong with that? They're just leading us into a new age. It's just liberalism. And it's not. It is not liberalism. Progressivism has been around for more than a century now at this point. And it was at first rooted in, and this is me talking now. I was reading a political article. I guess I should tell you what it is. That would probably help you. Suddenly, public health officials say social justice matters more than social distance. It's in Politico. It's by Dan Diamond, if you want to look up what I was reading there. Progressivism has been around for over a century, and it was rooted at first. It had religious religion, I guess, as its cornerstone, which was saving the soul of the country. And it was a Christian ideology. Somewhere along the way, that separated, and it's turned into what it is now. And it's infiltrated universities. And it is still staunchly and strictly a religion, but they just worship different gods now. And it's like, how much sin is acceptable in society? And of course, the answer is none. So these people, I don't know if you've ever seen the Game of Thrones, shame, shame with the bells. That's what these people are. They're robots. I think they mean well, and they're told that this is the right way. And that's why these kids at the New York Times throw a goddamn fit, because their professors have told them, you need to call this stuff out wherever you see it. Go out and be an ally. Go out into the world and be an ally. So they get these jobs in media, doctors. Doctors are educated in the university system. And it is dominated, completely dominated by progressive values. So you go into school and you go, I guess this is normal because you just hear this stuff. I went to university. I went to USF St. Petersburg. But it was there. It was there on campus. It wasn't like it is now. It's blown up in the past few years. But it was definitely there when I was at school. And I don't think I would. I don't think I, if I ever do have kids, which is not looking good. Sorry, Mom. It's just not looking good. Would not send them to a university. But they're being exposed, and maybe it's a good thing. Maybe things will change. But I think Andrew Breitbart was the one who said that politics is downstream from culture. So, and, you know, that progressivism runs Hollywood. They have stories. Jordan Peele wrote a story about Nazis being in just real life. And they tell the stories that they, and I think they believe this stuff. And I have eyeballs, and I go outside, and I just go, I don't think so, man. It's just not there. But and then they could also go, well, it's just a show. So I don't know. And I saw some Washington Post reporter put out that you must end all cop-based shows. So like Law and Order, anything like that, you take them off TV because it glorifies police work. Which I'm even okay, honestly, with getting rid of the police. If we have a strong Second Amendment, that's the only way you could really do that. Can't take it seriously when, you know, there's people out there who go, yeah, we need to abolish the police. And they're not going to do well when the cops are gone because they also want the populace disarmed also. Which means, by proxy, that only bad guys are going to have guns. And these are the people that also say that Nazis are all over the place tormenting minorities. But they won't have guns to defend themselves, and they also won't have police to defend themselves. I just can't take that seriously. as an argument. It's insane, and so many people want that, and they're not going to do well if they get what they want. It's gonna be weird. It's such an interesting time to be alive, and I can't wait to see how it plays out. And follow me on social media, home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. I will post very carefully over there to keep you updated about what's going on. It's going to be severely hyperbolic jokes. And also, I will, at every point where I can, when somebody's lying to you, I will try to find it and call it out. Guarantee you that. Promise you that. It's my duty. I feel like I need to do. So follow me over there, home_made_man. This podcast is brought to you by Homemade Podcast, homemadepodcast.com. It's a media consulting company. It's my company. If you're interested in learning how to podcast but don't know how to start, whether it's the hardware, the software, any of that stuff, I can help you. Visit homemadepodcasts.com. Anyway, okay, well, I'm going to go now. Please don't cancel me. Don't try to get me fired. If you have a problem with me, 813-693-2124, let's talk about it. I'm happy to speak with you. home_made_man on social media. Happy to do it. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. Have a great week. Please don't get me fired. Love you guys. Bye. It's HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.